we put up. And we said there are four different areas that we were going to sow into as a church. And so part of what I want to do today is to kind of recap where are we up to with those four areas, and then how are we going to try and move forwards from there. So let's take each one in turn, moving forwards with our family, with our church family. And this was about us getting to know each other better, particularly coming out of lockdown. But also it was about our discipleship, helping us to move forwards in getting to know God better for ourselves. So there's been some great stuff that's going on, and I'm sure a lot of this you'll be aware of. Stuart and Ruth have done a sterling job with our life groups in helping to encourage our life group leaders, in giving a discipleship focus to each one of those groups. And if you're not in one, can I encourage you to join one? It's the best place to meet people and to feel encouraged in your faith. We kicked off mentoring this year, and so there's about 20-odd people who have someone they meet monthly to talk about their faith. And if that's something that you would like, then feel free to approach someone in the congregation and say, I like the look of your faith. Would you meet with me once a month, and would you encourage me? It's been such a wonderful thing for those people who've entered into it. As well as thinking about discipleship, so in the midst of this, our young people and our children, we've been working on them feeling more at home and going deeper in their discipleship. I've been really encouraged by our youth apprenticeships. A lot of churches ask young people to kind of fill gaps, and we thought, that's not our heart behind this. Our heart is to help our young people to know some adults and discover their gifting. And one of the reasons for that is we know, as well as helping people grow in their teenage years, one of the reasons that people carry their faith into adulthood is they don't feel a disconnect between them as youth and the church wider as adults. They've made those connections. They know people. And that's been a massive blessing, I think, both to the adults and also to the youth as well. Trailblazers have been helping our children not only have fun but go deeper with God, and God's Giants has kind of helped in that year 5 and 6 bit, when often at the top of children's groups, people had started to disengage a bit and think, oh, we're almost ready for youth. And this really helps us to meet the needs of those year 5s and 6s better. Now, for some of you, if I asked you, was lockdown a long time ago, you would say, yes, forever. It feels a long time ago. But for a lot of people, it doesn't feel that way. And so our pastoral team have done some great work phoning up people and saying, how are you doing? We haven't seen you in a couple of years. And off the back of that, some people have come back, and other people we've been able to support them. I've already mentioned the church camp, but that was a great chance for us as family to connect with each other and feel like we know each other. I wanted also to thank the worship and the sounds team and the visuals team. Often the stuff that goes wrong on the visuals, it's not at all their fault, and it's often my fault. But we have wonderful teams there, and I'm so grateful for the way that our services have just felt like they've had added depth over the last year, that our worship has seemed to have lifted a bit. It's been amazing to see the work that Jim has done in the worship team and to see how comfortable they are with each other and what an encouraging place that is for people to join. Our preaching and leading teams are wonderful, and I am so grateful for the way that you've stepped up in serving Long Newton and St. Paul's as well. St. Paul's has very few preachers, the plant we sent out last year, but some of our preaching and leading team are now starting to go across to help. And that's such a blessing to the wider church in this era. You are so appreciated. I've loved our recent series on the habits of Jesus, not because I wrote it, but because it actually has helped us, I think, to look back at those things like prayer, like generosity, like hospitality, that are the things that help us to be effective as Christians. We've run a number of courses, so the Shaped course, Sharing Faith course, and Prophecy and Prayer. And particularly prayer and prophecy, I'd really like to highlight to us as an area where we've moved forwards a lot this year. We've had numerous prayer and prophecy events and training, and in each we've seen people praying for the things that really matters, for people to come to faith, for God's kingdom to come. It's been brilliant. I was reading just back through yesterday, Mark Burgess, who's our missionary in Peru. He wrote a long prophecy to us as a church saying, these are the things I think God's got on the agenda for you. And I came back to a little bit in it when he says, that God is growing a hunger for hearing his heart. And this would be partly prophecy and the pursuit of that, but also searching for justice and the church pursuing that in prayer. And I think we've very much started to see the start of that continuing to grow. Coffee has been better. Not the quality of coffee necessarily, but that was always fine. But I think the social bit, for a lot of people going through, they took a right turn out the door because coffee was awkward and difficult and a bit clicky, people felt. And I think we've overcome that. I think we've come quite a long way of being a church family together. Alongside that, we had the welcome lunches, and that's been a wonderful way for people to join the church, to ask some questions, and to feel like they belong. The second thing we... Oh, my goodness. There we go. The second thing we thought about was connecting with our friends, and through things like the John Archer events and the social events, there are lots of things that we've invited people to so that they could brush alongside Christians, find that we're nicer than perhaps they thought, and maybe even start to think maybe the God that we love is worth loving too. Through our street parties, back when we had the Jubilee, I hope that you got to know some of your neighbours and connected with more friends that way, and you might have decided to do the same thing this time when we have the coronation. Thanks also to those who run the craft evenings, the men's, women's evenings, and thanks to the social team. There is lots that we are doing that we were not doing before that now means that we have a space to invite our friends to, and I hope we'll take up those opportunities to do that. We thought about connecting with the wider or with the community. Now, most of us don't spend our week in church, so we are already connected, and that's one of the reasons why in the hall we've got that big rectangle that Mikey Davison drew for us that was all for us to write where we are during the week to remind us that what we do as a church is not just here, but actually Jesus said, build the kingdom out there. And so if you haven't written where you are during the week on it, feel free to. Our community engagement team at the PCC have been doing some brilliant work, engaging with the council and external agencies and helping them to come alongside Connect and to make other links too. It's been brilliant to see how many of you are working and volunteering to help make Jesus known in other places, and my thanks for that. We've engaged with a number of charities, particularly with an idea of justice. So Safe Families, we've got a number of people who volunteer with them. And Nicola, who works for them, is going to come and run a little session after church in a few weeks' time to help people to find out about that opportunity. Some of you help in the community kitchen. And there's lots and lots of these different ministries that you are involved with that is part of what we are called to as a church, blessing our communities in Jesus' name. Ministries like Discovery Church, Connect, the Life Exhibition, etc., offer all sorts of opportunities to those who are not here but are around us in order to help them to come to faith and to find out what that's all about. Our school's work has taken a little while to recover and is still in many ways finding its shape since lockdown. Jan has run sessions for Christmas and Easter, which have been brilliant, and our primary schools have come along to them. We've also had assemblies up and running in other local schools like Teesside High, Catherine's in Egglescliffe School, and I went into Yarm School. So there's a lot of ways that we're trying to engage with our schools, but post-lockdown, it's taking a little while to get back into that. Outreach-wise, and because Catherine and Rachel are absolutely skater girls, they launched our skate park ministry. That happened during the last year. And it's been amazing to see when you go along and you give young people a bit of time, how much people are actually wanting to be in relationship, wanting to get to know who you are and for you to find out who they are. And through that, we've been able to pray for a number of people and to encourage them that the church does care, and so God does care. As I said, we've helped out at Deanery Synod. One of the things that's really lifted my heart this year has been the Ukraine Cafe. Those of you who've gone along to it would just feel that kind of buzz in the room. I was there just the other day, and it was amazing to see, I think there was about 25, 30 people there, all finding community, being part of something where they feel like they're loved and encouraged. And that's given us a chance again to pray, to share a bit of faith, and to show Jesus love. Incidentally, if you're a man, they could do with some more male volunteers. There's quite a few men who come to that group, and I think it would be really helpful there. Thanks also to Christine for her work with the uniform groups. That's been a brilliant connection for us. So that's our community. And then lastly, the wider area. And I think it's been a great year for connecting with the wider vision of the diocese and being involved. We as a staff team went along to training for those churches seeking to plant, which was great. Sandra is part of the Growing Leaders course, which is the diocese training up people to lead future things alongside that. Across Teesside, we've been involved in running the 20s Young Adult Celebration monthly, which has only just kicked off. The second one's next week. And that's been wonderful just to see how many people in their 20s particularly are sitting in churches where there's only two people in their 20s. But they come along and they find there's actually a whole bunch more people of their age across Teesside who love Jesus too. We're gearing up for Festival Teesside that's going to be next year. And that's a chance for all the churches across Teesside to do a big mission event, which is going to be great. Again, with connecting with the diocese, it's been wonderful to have so many people of our church who are actively engaged. And I hope that you will join with me as we continue to pray for Martin and Amy and Margaret as they invest in the future of our diocese and get that opportunity to sow into the wider mission and life of the church. It's also been a challenging year. We've had some people who've gone to be with Jesus this year. We continue to have a number of people who are still walking through the valley, and that's difficult, but we walk with them. There have been challenging times for the Church of England about same-sex blessings and the place of marriage and sex in God's plan. And we continue to live in the middle of much uncertainty. But I really hold on to what Paul writes in Ephesians, that God has planned good works for us to do. And we need to keep the main thing, and keep focused on Jesus. My massive thanks to our staff team. We have a wonderful staff team at this church. Jan, Catherine, Shiromi, Rachel, Peter, and of course other Peter Gray, who heads up the pastoral team, have been fantastic this year, and they put in so many hours that we don't see, but it's all to missional good, and we're grateful for them. Thank you to our wardens, Chris and Anne, and also thank you to Diane. Over the last year, she's done a huge amount of work getting our safeguarding up to scratch, and we are now in such a good place that we're starting to be able to encourage other churches in their safeguarding as well. So that's all looking back. Are we happy so far? Okay. Right. A bit of looking forwards. God seems again and again to be saying the same thing to us through prophecy and prayer meetings, and that is to prepare for growth. This verse in particular keeps being shared with me. And it's from Isaiah 54. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. I can't tell you how many times people have emailed that to me and said, God's doing a new thing and he's going to grow the church. And you might well be one of those people who is given that verse too. If you know much about Isaiah, you'd know that comes sort of more or less in the middle, among some really interesting bits. So Isaiah 53 is the very famous, he was pierced for our transgressions, the work that God did to get rid of that barrier between us and him. Isaiah 54 is this bit, where it says about how God's going to do good, even in the middle of where it had seemed hopeless, and how he's going to enlarge his people. And then Isaiah 55 is that wonderful chapter, come all who are thirsty. So this kind of comes bang in the middle of that. And so one of the things that I'd like us to do this year is to be preparing for what God is doing. If you've walked into a prayer meeting in the last year, pound to a penny, you'd have found someone praying for growth and for people to come to know Jesus. That's our heart as a church. Now, we're not ditching the idea of connecting. We're not forgetting the fact that this is all underpinned by prayer. But there are a few things to do with growth that is worth us thinking about. Gardeners tell me that plants grow to the size of their pot, unless they live in my house, in which case we kill them. But normally, plants would keep growing, and then you have to repot them, and you have to think, how is this going to grow? And so it's a bit of that that we're wanting to do. When I first kind of returned to being an Anglican, I remember being given a book, and it was a big theological book, and it was the argument why we should grow churches. And I thought, who was bothered to write this? Isn't this obvious? Don't we already know that if you're going to make disciples, that will mean growing churches and planting new churches? Isn't that mind-blowingly obvious? But growing means more people loving Jesus, and that growth spreading out to bless the wider area and to see more churches revitalized. So four things for this year. And they're all linked to this idea of growth. The first one is to develop an invitational culture. I would love it if I went to the men's meal and didn't know most people in the room. Yeah? I would love it if I came along to a church barbecue and found three other families that I didn't know who were there. That's the sort of thing that we need to be doing, to saying to our friends, this is not a closed shop, this is a come along. Now, between us, there's about 200 of us. If each of us had at least five friends, that's quite a lot of people. So the odds of some of them saying, yeah, actually, I'd like to come, is quite high. I was reading again the parable of the sower the other day. It's one of my favorites. I love two things about it. One is it's not called the stupid sower. And it could be, because most of his seed didn't grow. But it's not, is it? Because we're called to sow everywhere. And so we sow and we invite people, even the people that we think, oh, you'll probably say no. But you know, some of those people were us, and we said yes. And the other reason that I like the parable of the sower is that it reminds us that even Jesus didn't see everyone go, yes, you're the Son of God. And he rose from the dead. So for us, some people will say no, and that's okay. But we need to get this invitational culture. For some of us, that might mean that we just need to get more sociable. We need to hang out with more people, particularly people who are not Christians. And you might join the ukulele club that meets down the road. You might join, there's all manner of different things you might join and be part of. But the key is to see those as areas where we are blessing people and having fun, but also to think, I wonder if they'd like to come to anything. I am incredibly unlikely to say no and turn people away from pretty much anything that we do. I think the PCC is about the only thing you couldn't bring somebody else to. But everything else, invite along who you like, because that's one of the ways that we're going to start to see people come to faith. I was saying to Rachel this morning, this church is amazing. We should be seeing people come to faith. We should be seeing growth. But we're not seeing it as much as we want to. But we've prayed into it, so we will. But part of what we need to do is this, inviting people along. The second thing is to do a bit of training. And so this year I'm going to run, I think probably about 10 times, I'm going to try and run a course, a little two-session course on how to share faith with somebody else. Now, there were about six of us who did this about 3 weeks ago. And we did one session all about sharing faith. Then we had a two-week gap, and then we did the second session. And do you know, all of them said, this was easier than I thought. It's not quite what I thought I was being asked to do. And I've had opportunities that I made the most of that I hadn't done before. So can I just encourage you, at some point this year, come on this Sharing Faith course, learn how to have that really easy conversation with somebody else about Jesus. It's not as hard as you think it is, and you might even have some fun on the way. So that's our second thing, getting trained up to share faith. The third thing is preparing for those who will say yes. I have quite frequently rung up Chris Bass and said, I've got somebody else I'd like you to meet, please, because they're interested in faith or they're partway along or whatever. I'd love us to have more people who would say to me, I could do that for somebody. I'd like to have a list of like 20-odd names where you would say to me, oh, I've thought about how I would disciple a new Christian so that I could ring you up and say, could you start meeting so-and-so? Could you encourage them in faith? Because as God grows our church, we need to have people who can say, oh, I could meet with so-and-so. Not another rota. We don't want more rotas. This is about just coming alongside one other person and encouraging them in the start of their journey. So you might consider that. The third thing is investing in opportunities for growth. So I've already started to meet with a little team from the 9 o'clock service, for example, because we have about 160 spare seats at the 9 o'clock. There's about 40 of us, which means we've got room to grow, and we want to. So as the 9 o'clock, we've been praying and thinking, how could this have children alongside and part of the congregation? How could it be more all age? How could it be easier for people to join? And there's going to be a questionnaire coming out to you in the next few weeks, if you're in that congregation, that's going to ask you some of your opinions. Not to morph it into the 10:30. We want to keep the thing that makes it special, but we also want it to grow. The 10:30 as well, of course, we are wanting to see grow as well. It's not at capacity. We are about 130 on a given week, which means, again, we've got about 60-odd seats that are vacant. So we're going to be thinking how to grow that, and life groups and mentoring is part of the key too. We need other avenues too, and one of them is planting. And so I've brought along 10 of these, which you're very welcome to take one. It's called Send Me. And it's stories about people in the Church of England who started new churches or new groups of people worshipping, and not one of them wears a dog collar. And that's quite important, because actually what we need to do is to start planting churches with other people who don't wear one of these. So you might be sitting there today thinking, do you know, I could start a little group that meet in my workplace that pray. I could start something at the coffee shop. I could start whatever. You might want to take one of these and have a read. This is other people who've done the same thing and who've been really encouraged. So that's one of the things that we need to be looking at, planting as well as our existing churches. Sometimes we're going to be planting big things like St. Paul's. Did you know St. Paul's have got members of their church that we don't know and weren't part of the church when they started? They've reached new people. And actually, a lot of the evidence says if you start something new, it grows faster than your existing stuff. Now, that doesn't mean we want to write off our existing things, but we do need to look seriously at planting. So I've been in touch with a group of people, a national church movement called Myriad, and they actually wrote the book. So they're a national body that help with church planting across the UK, and in lots and lots of places, this is starting. So you might be praying already and think, do you know, in the orchard somewhere, could I meet with a few people and start to encourage them in faith? Could I invite along a couple of neighbours? Could I see where that heads? We're going to be running the Exploring Church Planting course in the autumn term for anyone who thinks, oh, I'd quite like to find out about that. It's only 4 sessions, so it's not a commitment. You're not signing up to anything, but this is a chance to find out. So in the midst of looking for growth, we're going to continue to be praying about things like, where are the people we're trying to reach? Is this the best venue to reach them, or do we want to meet in other places? Are there other times? Jan and I have been thinking a bit about this and thinking about ways in for people. So we're going to start to offer a parenting course, which Jan's starting in just a few weeks, for those people in our local community who would say, I'm not ready for Alpha, I'm not sure about faith, but actually some parenting input would be brilliant. I'm going to offer the marriage course, but we're going to try and broaden it out a little bit so people can come along from the community. We're going to do that in the second half of this term. And if you'd like to help, then I would love you to come and help me with that. We're going to do some puddings. We're going to have a chance really to explore what is a good relationship and how can people foster that. Some of that is just about doing good. And some of it is about that first step for people into seeing that Christians are nice, maybe Jesus is okay, and maybe faith is for them. So can I conclude by just saying thank you so much for your involvement in so many things in our church and outside of it in building the kingdom. It's wonderful to see what's happening. But 4 things linked to these. You might well want to be trained to share faith and to decide with your life group or just by yourself to come along to one of these courses I'm going to run over the year, just 2 sessions on how to talk about Jesus without feeling really awkward and difficult. You might think, well, I need to meet some more people so I can sow a bit more widely. So I'm going to join a club, or I'm going to have some fun, or perhaps if you're part of the mountain biking group I go out with, you're going to invite some of your non-Christian friends so that we mix. You might say, well, I'd like to be prepared to disciple somebody else so that Matt could ring me up and say, we've got someone new, they're not a Christian, could I meet with them and could I encourage them? And the last thing is, you might want to take one of my books and you might want to pray about what would it look like to invest where growth is going to happen, to perhaps be someone who plants a small thing, or even perhaps in the future, somebody who plants a whole new church. So let me just give you a moment to have a little think. If you want to talk to someone next to you, you can, and then I'm going to invite any questions that you've got.